This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. That's the Kiss Classic, Detroit Rock City. Where's this week? I guess we should update to Detroit Bankrupt City, because Thursday afternoon, the city of Detroit filed for bankruptcy. Friday afternoon, a federal judge said, hold on a second here. We're going to have to wait and take a look at this. And a Michigan Circuit Court judge ruled that that bankruptcy filing is unconstitutional, but now it's going to get appealed. And, well, the bottom line here is that Detroit is bankrupt, whether the court says so or not. But saying so is important for how Detroit goes forward. And how does it affect other cities that are having municipal financial problems? Let's ask Lydia DePilla. She's a reporter from the Washington Post who's been covering all of this. Hi, Lydia. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul.
So what does it mean when a city like Detroit goes Chapter 9? It's not Chapter 7 or Chapter 11. It's Chapter 9, which is set aside for situations like this at a municipal level, right?
That's right. Chapter 9 is a specific piece of the federal bankruptcy code that applies just to, cities and utilities, school districts, public institutions.
Okay.
So
they're declaring bankruptcy means what for the people who live and work in Detroit?
Well, right now, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. The emergency manager of the city, Kevin Orr, has said that services will continue. Even the unions who are not happy with the bankruptcy have said that they will not go on strike about it. Just yesterday, Kevin Orr said that their pensions will be fine for another 6 months. But it's a sign of big things to come soon.
Why are the unions unhappy?
Obviously, pensions are a promise, right? So a big part of the story of Detroit's fiscal problems have been very generous health benefits and pensions that were granted during the boom time. And now that Detroit's population has shrunk so dramatically, they don't have the tax base to make good on those obligations. So as part of the restructuring, what the emergency manager and the governor would like to see is those pensions get dramatically reduced, along with payments on the bonds that investors from outside of the city hold.
So people who have been teachers, firefighters, ambulance workers, policemen in Detroit, not just in the last couple of years, but even throughout the 70s and 80s, who are retired now, who have been collecting pensions or who are looking forward to retiring and collecting pensions, that money that they were promised, Detroit might be able to say, sorry, nothing.
Not nothing, but a whole lot less. And certainly, if you were counting on it, then that's a very, very serious thing. And Detroit has also, started to think about the kinds of public services that would be necessary to take care of people in their old age if they don't have the nest egg that they've been counting on. And they're, doing some things already with their healthcare system, looking to shift a bunch of people into the new Medicare, into the new insurance exchanges that will be set up under Obamacare. But it may be inevitable. It may be something that the city just has no other option to do, but they are going to think about how to take care of people from a sort of human rights perspective.
Speaking of services, with a city $18 billion in debt, how bad are public services in Detroit right now?
They're pretty bad, especially outside of the very small downtown core that's actually doing really well. So one of Detroit's big structural problems is that it was a big city built for cars. And when you have only a few people living out in these largely abandoned neighborhoods where something like a quarter of buildings are vacant. It's almost impossible to have a fire system that gets to people in a timely manner. And crime is the worst crime of all cities in the country. And in part because with a police department stretched so thin, it takes them 45 minutes to answer an emergency call. Not to mention 40% of streetlights are out. I mean, it's really a city of life support.
Wow. And how is that going to affect the entire state of Michigan? I would think that Detroit is the economic hub of that state.
That's true. But the thing is, the numbers that we have look at Detroit and surrounding suburbs, so the metropolitan region. And the suburbs don't necessarily help Detroit. But overall, so the metro region is like nearly half of the GDP of the state, which explains why Governor Rick Snyder is so interested in helping it go through this process so it can recover and become that engine, because it's also its international reputation. When you go to somebody in China, if they know what Michigan is, it's because of Detroit. And Detroit has this sort of legacy, and so to let that die entirely would be a negative for the state's tax base and its sort of international reputation. But the issue, again, is that most of the car companies, which are doing well, are actually based in Detroit suburbs. So it's not helping that metro core that's now totally insolvent.
Oh, see, that's what I was going to ask you, because I was confused, because we hear that GM and Ford and Chrysler, the big three based in Detroit, have been doing better since the bailouts of a few years ago, and that they've actually gotten back, if not on the positive side, certainly a lot less negative than they ever were before. But you're saying that success is not helping the city of Detroit itself?
No, not really. And the sad thing about this is that we use the word Detroit to refer to a car company industry, and it's really not the case anymore. The big three car companies fled the city long ago, and they weren't that interested in, maybe understandably, dealing with a city bureaucracy that was corrupt and incompetent and not interested in clean maintenance and stewardship. So Ford is based in Dearborn, and those people, there's very wealthy suburbs around Detroit that are very nice. If you know the term Grosse Pointe, like, these are nice places where people who are still doing well in the industry, which no longer requires so many people on the assembly line, are really based. So that's Detroit, the city, can no longer rely at all on the success of the car companies. It has to come up with something else.
What other American cities are in danger of becoming the next Detroit?
Well, Detroit is really its own thing. If you ask experts about this, they say, look, Detroit is a perfect storm of terrible conditions. And so fortunately, there are cities that have gone through bankruptcy, San Bernardino, California, Stockton, California. There was a wave in California, actually. But states have been grappling with their own fiscal issues. But you don't see at any large cities the same kinds of fiscal issues. You do see cities with serious pension obligations that they're going to have to confront somehow. So, from Portland to New Orleans, that is an issue that hopefully they'll be able to find a way to deal with without going through bankruptcy. But that's such a knotty issue. Like, bankruptcy looks like the only way or the easiest, cleanest way to do it, even though it leaves people in pretty bad straits. So that's the good news. And bond markets, which are what people are worried about, which influence how easily and cheaply as cities can buy or borrow money in order to build things like roads and bridges. They've said, the S&P has said, that we view Detroit as unique and isolated, and we're not going to downgrade anybody else or raise our interest rates on the money that we lend to other cities. So that's the good news for everybody else.
How much of this, Lydia, is because of the financial crisis of the last 5 years, or were these, was Detroit itself sliding towards this even before the recession?
Yeah, definitely the latter. I mean, the recession didn't help, obviously, but this is a 60-year slide. Detroit started losing people in the 1960s, and it's now less than half the size it was, and didn't ever really go through a right-sizing, and didn't ever rationalize the structure of its public services or its neighborhoods and how people were distributed. And, of course, terrible political scandals. Like, you just had the worst kind of management. A lot of people see it, too, as just almost a parable of the American experience in the last 50 years or so was this just manufacturing powerhouse that got caught flat-footed by the international economy, was overly dependent on this one industry, and had nothing left when that collapsed and went elsewhere.
Lydia DePillis, a reporter for The Washington Post, covering the bankruptcy of Detroit. Thanks for joining me. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America!